Blog Talk Radio.
Having Dee Parks come on tonight to talk about her life in the paranormal. Hello, Amy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, to get started tonight, what's that?
I said sorry about my voice tonight.
Oh, it's okay. No problem at all. So, what have you been up to, Amy?
Enjoying the very hot weather coming to Louisiana, and writing more on my own.
Writing more.
I just received the Ridge in the mail from Eleanor.
Oh yeah,
I was about to ask.
How is it?
Excellent.
Good. Yeah, I remember. I remember seeing it. Well, whenever she wants to come on, that's fine. But So basically, tell me, like, I don't want to like spoil the story, but you know, I know we had Eleanor on as for the interview, and you know, just curious as to how far you've got into the book so far.
Well, I actually read the book before it came out because I did work on the cover.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
So I did read it, and it's so good. Like I told her, I said I need a copy of it in my hands because I love a book, feeling a book, and I'm reading it again. Like I read a few chapters. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's really excellent.
Okay. Hello, Dee. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, guys. How are you tonight?
We are doing great. We're glad to have you on tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very, 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 very welcome. To get started, we just want to kind of, you know, basically, your group, where you're from, you know.
Okay.
You know, what
let's
what you
see. Where do you want me to start first?
Basically, tell us about who you are and what do you do, where do you live, you know, what's your life like?
I live here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I was born and raised in Texas, though, but I moved here in 2005, and I've been here ever since. Let's see. Yes, I've been going through the tornadoes, like everybody's been seeing on the news. That's one of the things that's been going on here lately. Thank goodness there wasn't anything going on tonight.
Yes,
I still kind of have some things packed because I, you know, the important things, I wanted to keep them packed just in case because it's not over with. We've still got, you know, a whole month to go through of this type of atmosphere and everything going on. So I'm trying to keep it, you know, just a few things packed. Anyway, I started my team about 2 years ago. And actually, though, I've been a part of the paranormal world for 10 years now. So I had been previously, you know, part of other teams, and then I decided to start my own group with another founder. And then we've had investigating Oklahoma's paranormal for, I think, since about 2010. So we've been investigating quite a bit throughout the, you know, the Oklahoma State. We have done a little bit in Texas. We are available to, you know, as far as we're needed to go to. My life starting with the paranormal happened because of my father. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he was really interested in revelations, signs of the times, symbols. Mm-hmm. And I also had, you know, a few, you know, spiritual things happen to me when I was a child. So that's, those were the main things that got me interested in the paranormal. But when I lived in Texas, there was no teams around my area at the time. But now there's several teams, you know, where I used to live. And it's kind of funny how to see how it's progressed over the years.
Where in Texas?
I live in Denison, Texas, born and raised. It's right there on Lake Texoma, on the Oklahoma and Texas border.
Okay, like north of Dallas?
North of Dallas, yes.
Okay, okay, giving me an idea. All right, that's great. As far as, like, your team, how far do you travel? Like, do you travel to, like, the Gulf Coast or?
Well, I've got two teams. I'm actually part of a female team called Three Chicks and a Ghost. Now, my team with them is the founder's name's Jamie. Her name's Jamie Arena. Her and I met in Georgia, and we became really close friends. She calls me, you know, we're our sidekicks. And we've traveled to Kentucky a few times. And we, you know, wherever we're needed, wherever, you know, we're available, we go. We pack up and we go. Jamie, for instance, she travels all throughout Florida because she lives in Sarasota, Florida. So she goes to a lot of places in Florida. I stay around here mainly in this area of my state, Oklahoma, but I will go to other states wherever I'm needed to go. When I'm with Three Chicks and a Ghost, now, if I'm needed to go with her to Pennsylvania or any other state, then that's what we do. You know, she contacts me, lets me know where we need to go, and we'll go. So that's how we kind of work things out with that situation. But with my small, you know, I only have just a small team here, and we kind of stay around the main states here in our area of Oklahoma and stuff.
Okay.
So.
I'll bring Amy in.
Other than that, we basically we can go to Arkansas, we can go to Kansas, where we're needed, that's where we're gonna go.
Awesome. I know Amy had, you know, wanted to get a question in too now.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Sorry about my voice tonight. Severe allergy reaction. Was there one definitive event that got you interested in the paranormal?
Yes. When I was a small child, I was helping my aunt move. And I was, I'd probably say about 7 to 9 years of age, somewhere in that time period. And she was moving, and I thought I was going to be, you know, cool, a big girl, and I was going to help her out. And she had mattresses in the back of her truck, and she didn't have anything to tie it down with. So I told her I would stay back there and lay on them, you know, to keep the mattresses down while she, you know, drove to her new home. Well, as we got further away and got down the highway and the wind starts picking up and everything, well, I decided to lay on the mattresses, and the mattresses started getting higher as the wind started picking them up even more. So I got very frightened. I mean, I was just a little girl. I was very scared. It was bouncing around. It was getting kind of like, you know, I was having my heart beat out of my chest. I was afraid I was going to be thrown out of the truck. And I kept remembering over and over and over how I just kept praying and praying and praying. And I just, you know, I was like, please don't, you know, don't let nothing happen to me. And then at one point, I specifically felt something cover me, like in a warm shield, like something had laid itself over me and quietly had told me that I was going to be fine, that I was safe. And then after that moment, it seemed like everything was calm in the back of that part of that truck. And at that time, I was totally protected. So I felt that the angels at the time were protecting me. Later on, I did have a sort of like a visitation from my grandmother when I was in high school, because some friends were kind of taking off and doing a trip to Las Vegas, and they were underage, and they were wanting me to go along with them, and they were like, hey, we can get you a plane ticket to come. You can be here by, you know, tonight. Well, they're underage, but he's using daddy's credit card, and they have the same name. Well, I was throwing my stuff together in a bag. I was going to be cool and go, just say I was going to be gone for the weekend, and she came to me and physically basically told me, don't go. Just don't go. And I had to stop and just sit there and go, oh, okay. And come to find out, Sunday morning, this happened on a Friday night, Sunday morning, my two friends, not even an hour after I have gotten off the phone with them, they were arrested by the Las Vegas Police Department because they had found out that they were underage from the hotel. And so they stayed in jail over the weekend until they were allowed to leave on Sunday.
My goodness.
Pretty scary things, yeah.
Wow. Well, what kind of, investigations do you do as far as, like, demonic, what kind of severity of cases do you usually take on, or is it just kind of like old types?
We take on whatever the case is needed. We have had, you know, for instance, if where somebody is saying that they do might have something like a negative spirit, we take care of those. In the past, we had a woman that would actually come and do the cleansing for us, but she's no longer wanting to do it. She's wanting to, you know, do her own classes and take care of her own things because it was kind of wearing her down. It was kind of, you know, breaking down her body and making her tired very bad. So I totally understood. But I had been trained in before how to do cleansings and how to work with the spirits and how to ask them, you know, to speak with them, you know, basically speak with them and be in kindness and showing that God is forgiving and that God will accept them as long as you just ask for forgiveness. So we do help with the cleansings. I do, you know, if it's just basic regular cases, we'll go in. People contact us either by Facebook or by, you know, Craigslist, yeah, or however ways we advertise. And we go over the case to see if it's something that we can handle, if it's in our area, or if it's something that's too far away, like, say, it's, you know, somewhere in Houston, Texas, well, then I've got friends who have a paranormal team in Houston. So I'll contact them and say, hey, I've got a case for you there. That way it's, you know, I'm helping out a team that's closer to the family instead of, you know, me having to try to fit in a time period to just to drive all the way to Houston. It's actually I'm helping out another team by giving them a case, somebody who's closer to them, also helping the client out. So we do the basic houses. We have also done buildings, just the regular hauntings at most. And, yes, I have dealt with a few negative spirits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you name it, we've done it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I'm just kind of interested, like, in your bio, you know, when your dad was a minister?
He was a Sunday school teacher.
Sunday school, okay. Now, did your faith have anything to do with being interested in the paranormal?
It did. Yes, it did. Because of, it was mainly how he put me, how he was also teaching me as he was learning all the things that he was learning from the books that he was reading. And like I said, he was very interested in the signs of the times, revelations, and everything that he read or got his hands on to read, he would also, you know, teach me or give me the books. And my, you know, with him being such, you know, my father, he was a truck driver, and it's very, you know, I'd say about 90% of my life, he had a drinking problem. But once he found God, and once he did start, you know, teaching Sunday school, and he didn't just teach the smaller children, he taught the teen groups, you know, and then there were other times he taught, you know, the adult classes as well. So being with him and him always leading me, because I was a daddy's girl, he did put a lot of faith in me, and he did show me that there was a different side. You know, there was another world besides our world. There was a veil between us, in that there is a heaven, there is a hell. So by learning through him and learning through faith, and, yes, it does help with, you know, me being a paranormal investigator.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Amy, didn't you have a question similar to that you wanted to ask too?
Yeah, I just, you said he helped you or taught you about the paranormal. How did his teachings tie into the paranormal?
Well, he was very interested in, I guess, the spiritual side about, you know, where, you know, if our bodies, you know, when we cross over, he was learning into, you know, he was kind of teaching into different parts of seeing on, you know, the other side of the veil, that spirits do have, you know, if they want to, you have a choice. You have a choice of where you want to go, because energy cannot be destroyed. And he, you know, it was during my teen years, and a lot of time during that, you know, you want to run around and hang out with your friends and, you know, have fun and stuff like that. But he gave me that option of, you know, if you want to read this book, you can. He wasn't going to keep me from things. He was also, whatever he got his hands on, he would love to learn about all sorts of different things. And it just kind of passed on to me about the learning part. Because we were both interested in it as time went on. And whatever, you know, even if he didn't read into spiritual books, he was also into other type of books. He also read, you know, vampire novels, which he had an open mind, and that was what was great, because I think it's, you know, an open mind is, it gives you all sorts of possibilities of learning and also teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, if you have an open heart and open mind, then you can learn so much from this world. And that's just what he gave me.
I agree.
So, I mean, I just, I'm down with anybody who has, what your religion is, that's fine with me. I have no problem with anybody's religion. Everybody, as long as we all love each other, get along with each other, work with each other, willing to make things better, hey, I think that's the best thing there is.
Yeah. Yep. What kind of things have you been, like, doing lately? Like, as far as, like, anything new with the paranormal? Like, have you been using anything new as far as equipment-wise or any new techniques that your group has been using?
New techniques. Well, let's see. Trying to think here. We've got quite a few pieces of equipment. We do have, like the DVR system. We do have the Ovilus. Let's see. We have the FLIR, and that one I'm getting used to it by now. Let's see, what else do we have? We try to use as much as we can. It depends on the case, what the case is about. If there's shadow apparitions, if they're complaining about cold spots, then, whatever piece of equipment is needed for that case, then we'll use whatever we have the most. Because towards the end when we do our EVP sessions, we will do probably an Ovilus time period, and then we'll do a spirit box session also and kind of break for time and then come back and do something else. We also use the laser grids to help with the shadow apparitions. We use, whatever, we basically also have our recorders, our digital recorders, our cameras. With our investigations, with what we've been seeing mainly, I think for the past, last year, we noticed that it wasn't just places that were having activity. We're now starting to see more people having the activity, a person having something attachment to. So it's kind of picked up within the last year that we've noticed. And it's with a person, you have to, go through the questionnaires and go through their life and kind of figure out what it is that might be attached to them. And lately I've been finding a lot of people have been, since the world is now evolving and everybody is now starting to get it to a higher frequency level, that people are changing and they're opening up more. So they don't realize that they're becoming a little bit more sensitive and that entities are seeing them and actually thinking, hey, maybe this person can probably communicate with me. So they're, don't realize that they're actually at times bringing something home. But that's what, my theory is that, when an entity is trying to look for somebody to listen to them, to hear them, to try to get a message out that I'm here, they're going to try to find somebody that they can, that they think will listen and hear. And that's what we've been seeing. I think it's been over a year now. It's been over a year since a lot of the cases that we are now dealing with is the person instead of the home or business.
Interesting. Of course. Well, now, what question did you have now? Because
I'm just listening.
Right. When you come to your investigations, what is your favorite part about the investigation in general?
Doing the investigation in general, I think working with the client. I really do like working with the clients. Not only that, but doing the history, the researching of the place to see if there is anything that can be related to the land or the building or, what could be, a source. So I do love learning about the history part of it all. I do love the research. But working with the clients, I think that might be my number one priority. And then, of course, you know, listening to EVPs, that's up there too at the list, because going over the EVPs, yeah, it's a kind of a long, drawn-out process, as it, you know, as everybody knows. But once you get that one good Class A EVP, then, you know, you've got something. So I think going, you know, talking to the client, working the history, and going through the EVPs, I think those are all mainly the good parts. Our team has also been, the past couple of years, since we've been, you know, one of the teams that's been around here in Oklahoma for a while, we've been contacted by, you know, people who are wanting to start teams, who are at least, you know, who are, you know, so many teams go and watch Ghost Hunters or go watch Ghost Adventures and think, hey, that's cool, I can go do that, you know, and they don't realize that there's actually more to it than a 30-minute to an hour segment. So now that we actually have some clients contact us and want to learn, they want to learn how to properly investigate and if there is any guidelines or rules that they need to go by. And so we have been helping quite a few new teams start out.
Yeah, and when you think about it, there's really not many books out there that you know, have guidelines or you know, like a guide just to help people start.
There's no good one.
Well, Taylor has one. Yeah, Troy Taylor has a Ghost Hunter's guidebook. And it does have a lot of great advice. It really does. But people don't think about, hey, can I go get a book and read about it? People just watch things on TV and say, well, I can do that. And it's not fair to go to a client and automatically, you know, hey, I'm going to start up a team. I'm going to throw on a T-shirt and say I can come into your house and has no idea what they're dealing with or how, you know, what to do, what to take care of. And they don't realize that there is, you know, you need to be respectful. And I don't like all the TV shows where they just sit there and provoke constantly over and over and over, because sometimes when you leave that home, the people that are living in the home are the ones that are stuck dealing with that. You know, that team left to go home and they just provoked the spirit in your house for hours. I think it's better for, you know, teams to reach out and want to unite and help each other and want to share and learn. That way that they can get an idea in their head that, hey, this is what you can do and this is what not good to do. So,
okay. With that, what is your least favorite part of an investigation?
Least part? Let's see. I have a hard time going through the video. I have such a hard time. I don't mind doing it. I really don't. But when you know you have to sit there for hours upon hours, and you really do have to have somebody with you. You've really got to have at least a second person or even a third person watching the video with you, because if you're by yourself and you're trying to go over video and you're starting to get a little bit sleepy and you might miss something because, you know, you take your eyes off the screen for one minute. In that 1 minute, you could probably miss it and never catch it. So I think that's the least thing I can. I just hours upon hours of sitting at a desk because I don't have my laptop working right anymore. So I have to sit at my main computer, which is an Apple computer, and it's this huge, you know, 20-inch screen. And when you watch video, you kind of have to keep darkness around a little bit around you in a room because I've got a window that sits behind my desk. And during the day, while you're trying to watch video and you're trying to strain your eyes to make sure you're not missing anything, it's hard on me when I do that. So I think that's probably my least.
So
tell me about you guys.
Hold on.
I've never really been asked that question before in the email. Well, you know, of course, you know, I am a college student. You know, I am going to school currently. You know, I I've been interested in the paranormal since I was 13. You know, and I've been investigating since I was 16. Yeah, I would say 16. 16 would be.
Wow.
So I would say I'm 20 now. I can't believe I'm 20.
The years
fly
by.
You know what's weird is that when people are like, I was like, I can't believe I'm 20. Like, I don't feel like I'm 20. But yes.
I don't feel like I'm the age I am, but I am.
Yeah, it's like
exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for like 4 years. You know, and
are y'all part of teams too?
You know,
I'm not
currently. Yeah, I'm just independent.
You're independent.
Yes, I am currently, but you know, I know that that Amy has been interested for a while.
Well, it's cool that you are doing this, that you are trying to get it out there, that you are actually helping in some way by doing this show. So that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I know that about Amy.
Since a very young age, probably like 12, 13, maybe even before that. But I'm not part of a research group, but I live in New Orleans and
I've been there. Yeah. Beautiful place.
I've gone on the haunted tours. I've done, well, one haunted tour I did it for an event night that a friend put on, and the VIP pass, it wasn't too expensive and it included a haunted tour and a bottle of wine signed by, Yerky, the lead singer of the 69 Eyes, they're from Finland. Fun band. And
ooh.
So I went on the tour, and it was fantastic. And I watched Ghost Adventures, and you know, he asked me to come do the show, and I said, okay, this will be great.
Well, I've been to the Myrtles Plantation. I was there in 2011.
I've only lived here since 2005.
It was amazing, very amazing. I first started investigating, of course, you know, my husband and his best friend severely made fun of me. When everybody was going to the lake and going out on the boat because, you know, it was summertime, here I was packing up, leaving to go on investigations, and they would make fun of me and say, you know, where's your vacuum cleaner, you know, the Ghostbuster and stuff like that. And I just, you know, it was something that I knew that I feel like I really was meant to be on this road. I really... From, you know, ever since that angel experience happened, I just feel like that I was meant to do this. I even feel like I have a definitely an older soul. And with my daughter, she's 17, and when she was born, I could tell that she was a very old soul. And we've found out within the past 2 years that she's an indigo child, which is a child that has, you know, a higher level of sensitivity and thought thinking and everything. And so she's very intelligent. She has a very old soul. But while everybody was at the lake making fun of me, you know, here comes the little Ghostbuster. Where's your vacuum cleaner? Where's your backpack? Why are you on your back? Well, 2011, my husband decided to take me on my birthday for a trip to Louisiana, because he knew I always wanted to go, and that was my birthday gift, was staying at the Myrtles Plantation. Well, his best friend, since they were in seventh grade, you know, he was the one that always made fun of me the most, you know, the Ghostbuster, the vacuum cleaner thing. Every time I saw him, it was always that. And so we go to the plantation, and the place is just so beautiful. It is just so beautiful. And we were you know, we stayed overnight, and there was a few other guests staying there, but they were staying in other parts of the house, and we had the main upstairs area to ourselves. And we were staying in the children's dining room, and it was their nursery area, and it was their dining room area, with two rooms cut in half. And we were walking the grounds, and my husband's best friend at one point was kind of a little bit ahead of us, and he stopped, and we were in the front of the house in the front yard, and he stopped, and I kind of saw him kind of make a stopping gesture, and he was looking at his camera, and he was taking pictures, and he was kind of like got this confused look on his face, and then he walked off. And later on at night, as we're going to bed, his wife at the time started hollering at me, telling me to come here. And, well, of course, my husband's over there going, ooh, the ghost stuff is happening now, you know, and he's joking around. Well, his best friend didn't want to say anything at the time, but he said that, you remember when we were out walking in the yard taking pictures? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I saw something. And I said, what did you see? He goes, I saw a woman standing there in the yard as I was taking pictures, and I took a picture, and she was gone. And I was like, you know, kind of blown away by it. Now, this is a man that is, don't believe in none of it, thinks it's all a bunch of hooey, and makes fun of me every chance he gets. So he had this, you know, serious look on his face. Well, the next day, after Myrtle takes you on the tour of the house and tells you the stories and everything in the house, you go back to their main gift shop, and they let you look through their photo albums where the guests have taken pictures and send them to Myrtle to say that, hey, I think I caught something. And I got through the first and second album, looked through the third album, and I pushed it off to the side. And he was looking through them, too, and he picked that third album up, got two pictures through, and he goes, that's it. That's who I saw right there. And it was a woman coming down the stairs. He goes, that's her. That's who I saw. Now, to this day, when you ask him that question, you know, hey, what'd you see when we were at Myrtle's? He'll just say, I just know what I saw. But at the time, he saw a woman. And now he doesn't make fun of me anymore.
Oh, wow.
Now I'm waiting for when my husband sees him.
Have you been to New Orleans?
Yes, we went to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We stayed in the Red Light District, and we stayed, let's see, I'm trying to think of the name of it. Let's see if I can pull it up here. I purposely picked out the hotel because I knew that it was going to have activity. Let's see, where did we stay? Because I've got the pictures. Let's see here. When we went down there, I knew that he was taking me from Myrtle's for my birthday. And the hotel, let's see here if I can find it. Okay. We went to Jean Lafitte. We went to the Pirate Bar when we were down there. We also went to Marie Laveau's thing. It's a little tour, and it's building. And, okay. No, those aren't the pictures I was looking for. Where else? We went to several places when we were down there, and just I loved it. It was – loved every minute of when we were down there in New Orleans. We definitely went to the cemetery number one. Let's see here. I'm having a hard time trying to pull pictures up. Okay. But anyway, we stayed down there for, I think, 2 days down in New Orleans, and then we drove back home. Yeah, it wasn't long enough for my taste, but while we were there, I'm trying to find it. Let's see here.
Do you remember what street it was on?
It was, I can't remember how many blocks over it was from Oh, shoot. I'm really bad with names and stuff. Okay.
So it was in the French Quarter, though?
It was right next to a red light bar. I remember that. Oh, and I can't get my things to work. Let's see. Events.
Well, while you look for it, is there something that you think that new teams, mistakes that they make, very common mistakes that new teams make in investigations?
Yeah, they do make quite. With new teams, I think the most important thing that they need to learn is paperwork. A lot of teams are going into people's homes and not getting the confidentiality paperwork signed, the liability paperwork signed, and it's, I think the paperwork needs to be, you know, you, and I've been hearing that some teams have been charging, and that is just a big, huge no-no for my taste. I don't believe in charging one bit. We're here to help. We're here to find out what's going on with the client and if we can solve their problem in any way we can. If I can't solve the problem, then I'm going to find somebody who can solve the problem. And this, you know, some of these cases may take more than one investigation, and I think baby teams are just thinking that they can come in, they can, you know, get into a home or a building, say that they can get this, they can do that, and end up not fulfilling what they promised. So I think it's really important to make sure that they have the paperwork and make sure the paperwork is signed. Not only does the paperwork is important, but in the paperwork, it's basically an agreement between you and the client that not only is your stuff going to be okay, but they're mainly secure too. So it's, you know, a safety thing for the clients and for you, because a lot of teams are running around in the dark. I know I walk around with, you know, a camcorder right there in my face, and I'm looking through a screen, and sometimes I might trip or fall, and I might break somebody's big screen TV. So yeah. I think it's important to have that. Okay. I think that's one of the main things is make sure you got your paperwork and make sure you do know what you're getting into. And I know that when I interview people who want to be on the team, some of them don't realize that things can come home with them. And I was surprised that I had a few people that interviewed who wanted to be on the team that, you know, one of the questions I would say, well, do you realize that there is a possibility of something that might be coming home with you? How does your family feel about this? How does your wife feel about this? And they would be flabbergasted. They wouldn't even think of that. So that's a big thing that people need to think over is paperwork and make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, I mean, that's
okay.
Really good advice because, you know what, a lot of teams probably would never have to think about paperwork or liability paperwork going in.
No, and that's, you know, it's funny when I do work with new teams who ask me to come to kind of walk around with them to kind of be there to help them out on a case. And the first thing I ask is, do you have your paperwork? And they'll be like, well, what do you mean by paperwork? Well, do you have, you know, a confidentiality agreement? Does the client want you to be okay with you posting their information, you know, on your Facebook page or on your web page? Because if that client doesn't sign anything, and then the next thing you know it, the client finds out that their name and phone number and address is plastered all over the Internet, well, it could be a big, huge, you know, mess. It could be a huge lawsuit that could come on. So it's really important to state what the client wants. Do they want their information released? So I think that's real important to make sure they have that. Okay, I'm getting to the pictures now. I'm sorry it's taking me so long, and I'm trying to make sure I've got a picture of the hotel.
Okay, is there anything you actually have to say to people who are wanting to start an investigation team other than having your paperwork?
Other than having their paperwork, I would say to find a team in your area. Find a team in your area that's been around a while and see if they will allow you to work with them for a little bit to kind of learn the ropes. Because, it's not like it is on TV. It's not, definitely not like it is. People showing that they have a few EVPs. Well, EVPs take days, sometimes weeks, depending on how many recorders were used during the investigation. That's, you got four recorders, five recorders or more, you're there in an investigation for more than 6 hours, and then you've got audio and video plus photographs that you have to go through. You're looking over anywhere from 80 to probably 120 hours worth of time just to go through everything. So, find that team that has been around a while, and I'm sure that those teams would love to help you because that's one of the main things that they're there for. They're not only just to help, people with a paranormal situation. They're also willing to teach people and to teach them how to, download your EVPs, what good programs to use, what audio file do you want to use?
What kind of what kind of software do you use when you're cooking, for instance?
Basically, for our EVPs, we just use plain old Audacity. It's free. There's nothing wrong with it. Works perfect. With photos and everything, I just have my Mac, which I use, and it's good, but if I need to have somebody look at a photograph and kind of verify something, that if I'm, to kind of get a second or maybe even a third opinion if I have anything, then I do have local photographers that are my friends that I know that I can use at any time that can give me, their thoughts on if I actually caught something in the picture. People are willing to help you out. All you have to do is just ask.
Great.
That's great. Now, how many teams would you say you have helped so far start? Or not like start, but advise?
Let's see here. I would say one, two. About four to five, I'd say. And then I have, there's times too where I've been in previous, where we've had like something like a tour where people would come and they'd want to investigate and we'd give them a presentation, and it would also be a learning, not only would it tell the history of a place that we're doing the tour at, but we would give them a little bit of teaching them how to investigate and the different types of EVPs, the different types of, equipment to use. And also, I think it's kind of important, too, when I do teach some of these classes, and I have taught a few classes on how to paranormal investigate, a lot of people think that they need to go out and start buying the most expensive equipment right out of the gate. And you really don't have to. You can use some of the most basic things around the house until you can build up to start buying equipment. Now, some equipment's not that expensive. Some recorders are only $40. Flashlights are cheap. Headphones are cheap. But, you get up there with the Ovuluses and you get up there with a DVR system that could be anywhere from $500 to $600, depending on what you're getting. The FLIR itself ranges anywhere from $1,300 to $1,600, then to the even $2,300 and up, because the FLIR is a very expensive piece of equipment. The IR lights, a lot of people don't know that you can make an IR light out of a heat bulb that you can buy at Walmart and use it until you can afford one. Yeah, you can use baby powder and string. So it's just simple things that you can use around your house if you'd be amazed.
Wow, yeah. And you know what, like a lot of people, like, and it goes back to what you were saying with TV shows and stuff. A lot of people, like, watch the TV shows and they're like, oh, I need this stuff to get started. Like, this is the things that, you know, make me turn on the skater is all this equipment. And that's an interesting point you made, because not everybody realizes that there are some simple things that you can use, like a compass or something like that.
Well, I know in the beginning, you know, it's hard. It's hard to get to start out to get – a lot of new teams ask, how do we get investigation? How do I get an investigation? Well, one, I don't think it's important to get an investigation right off until you learn what you can use and how you can – you know, talking to your clients is a main important thing, because your client is basing you off your personality and how you speak with them over the phone first. So I think it's how you put yourself and how you present yourself and your team. If you have friends that have some type of paranormal activity going on, you can ask your friend, hey, can I come and hang out at your house for a few hours to see if I can capture anything on my little digital recorder or in my little camera here? And sometimes they will, and you can build up that way. And a lot of teams I've seen that have gone out and gone to the cemeteries, and they risk of, you know, trespassing laws and stuff, and I don't recommend doing that, because there's been way too many times where I have been on a team. We did get permission from the property owner to be at the cemetery. However, the property owner didn't tell the caretaker that we were there, and the caretaker, you know, as we're doing an investigation during the cemetery, and the caretaker thinks that we're a bunch of teenagers out there drinking and partying. So what's the first thing he does? He reaches his shotgun, comes out there and yells and shoots his gun in the air to scare us off. And we have permission to be there, but he didn't know that, and that's what he does. You know, that's kind of scary when you're sitting there doing an EVP session and you don't even hear nothing but a shotgun blast and then somebody yelling, get off my property. So it would better kind of start off with small things and small, you know, small items. You don't have to go out there and buy that major expensive equipment. You can use, if they're talking about things moving, or you got a client who's talking about, you know, cold spots, well, if you got things moving, you can use baby powder to mark the area, or even chalk or pen and paper, just to mark it and take pictures of it. And if it's moved, then you can go back to the pictures to see if it has been moved. You know, always make sure you make notes and make sure you take pictures of everything. You know, with baby powder, if they're, you know, talking about footsteps, or, you know, you can possibly use the baby powder too to put foot, you know, see if they can get fingerprints or footstep prints or anything in it, some type of shoe print. We've used string, I know, to catch any type of cold air coming in, or any type of air, cold or warm, because just by seeing the string moving, that would, you know, let you know that there's some type of airflow coming in. So that helps. It just, you know, I've seen so many YouTube videos where a lot of paranormal teams have been teaching people how to use basic things around the home to start your group, or just to start yourself and build up from there. And it's really simple. And that's what I try to teach in the classes, is just use these basic products until you can afford the things. And when you do go out on an investigation, start with, you know, try to find somebody you know, try to find somebody who is having something paranormal going on, and then go from there. Now, some of them don't realize that you do have to go to the county assessor's office and get the land information. So these are just a few little things that they need to learn about, because on TV, you know, you don't see, you know, one of the ghost hunter guys running down to the county office to get birth records and stuff. You don't see any of that. So I think it's kind of important to, you know, if they can find a team that's nearby or a team that's willing to help them, even on the internet or talking through Skype or on the phone, then that's great. I think somebody mentoring is better than the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, are you part of, like, any paranormal networks or kind of like an outreach, you know, kind of like where you're just part of this network where people can, like, find people over the country to help with cases and things like that?
Yeah, we are part of, let's see, the paranormal societies, where our information is on there, to where we're locally here in Oklahoma, because it lists by states what team is what is where in states. I think I am a part of several other groups on Facebook too. Let's see here. I'm also, there's one called, I think, Oklahoma Paranormal Federation. I'm a part of them. There's all sorts of different, you know, different types of organizations that are especially on Facebook that you can contact them, and they'll let you become a member. And they want to know what area you're in, you know, so that they can get it out there that you're in that specific area.
Very good. You know, you put a lot of good points on tonight's show, like as far as like evidence and, you know, how to start a group and, you know, equipment and things like that. That's really good, because I'm sure like people come back and listen to the archives, you know, and that'd be really good as far as like getting tips and things. Do you have any other questions?
Oh,
any
yeah.
For our guest?
No, that's it. Thank you. You
that was
have
it?
Been
okay.
So informative.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting up with my voice.
Yeah,
I understand.
I'm so glad. All right, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I really, really, really appreciate it. As far as, like, any shout-outs, I mean, you have a minute left. Did you want to give any shout-outs to anyone? Or?
Sure, shout-out to my sidekick, Jamie, if she's listening. Shout-out to my daughter, Ashley, and to my family and friends. Evan, if you're listening, too, shout-out to you. And to my other founder, Lauren, and our member, Kathy. Hey, guys. So that's basically it. But thank you for letting me come on.
Anytime. Yeah, and you know what? As I really wish that there was, like, a paranormal network as far as, like, unity and things. I think that would be great for the future.
Yeah, it sure does. It helps.
Like,
it really does help to find out.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. I enjoy being on.
Thank you so much. And thank you for everyone listening to our show tonight with Deep Hearts. We appreciate you guys' time for coming out and listening to us tonight. Have a great night and join us next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.